This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Have you explained to us the process that is unfolding where, you know, as the NIOH, you are requiring companies employing more than 50 people to submit this weekly data, the process, and of course, the rationale behind that?
Okay. So basically, the NIH has been asked by the Department of Health to collect, and Department of Employment and Labor to collect this data on employees for them. So this was, there is a legal directive from the Department of Employment and Labor that stipulates exactly what data is required and that it should be submitted to the NIH on its occupational health surveillance system platform, which is an online platform. So the reason for this is, or the main objectives of this is to assess the trends of COVID-19 infections in the workplace settings. So what we would we want to get from this is to see which industries are mainly being affected, which job categories are being affected, and where are these businesses or these industries mainly located. So which province and which a more local district area is being most affected. So this will then allow the Department of Health, Department of Employment and Labor to then, as well as other organizations involved, to provide more targeted interventions to prevent further exposure, further and then to just help the health system basically by being more preventive. And also, eventually, we'll be able to then see evaluate how the impact of COVID on the economic and human resource impact in the various different sectors, the mining, the financial sector, educational, etc.
Are you only going to be looking at COVID-19 cases, or are you also looking at symptomatic factors? Because I know that in some workplaces, they're still requiring of their employees to fill out those forms with the temperature checks and whether or not they're feeling any kind of flu symptoms, if they're feeling under the weather, if they're having some sort of fever. So is the data that comprehensive, or is it purely looking at actual positive cases of COVID-19?
No, it is more comprehensive than that. So there's about four categories of data that we are looking at. We're looking at the symptomatic employees. So I know businesses are required to collect this daily, but then at the end of the week or before the Tuesday of the next week, they send us their list of employees that have been symptomatic over the course of that week. And we do ask for the date when the symptoms started, the range of symptoms based on the criteria that's out there, that what symptoms should be monitored. So those are the symptomatic. Then we also ask if the for the actual positive case. So when it was diagnosed, whether that they were vulnerable or had some sort of vulnerability, whether they had symptoms before, and then what the outcome of that was, whether they need to be hospitalized or were sent home. Then we also have a once-off submission of the vulnerability status of the employees in the workplace for that particular business. And we also require their return to work and health outcomes. So after they've been diagnosed, if they were hospitalized, what happened after that? If they were just isolated at home, did they come back to work and were fully functional, or did they have some sort of disability? So we want to also find out what the impact of having that employee had, had COVID, what was the impact after that to that employee, and then eventually the business itself, because it might be a loss of an employee, which has an effect on the running of that business. Yes. So, and we also ask for the number of high-risk contacts within that workplace.
Right.
So we don't, yeah.
Right. You mentioned that, you know, the objective or one of the objectives of, you know, having companies, you know, requiring companies to submit this kind of information is to have, you know, the country understand different sectors, how they are being, you know, uniquely or affected by COVID-19, if they're experiencing the virus in a very kind of specialized way because of the nature of the work. I'm curious if the data collected could also assist those individualized sectors or industries to even come up with COVID-19 programs that are unique to their situation, that respond to their very unique dynamics. Is that something that the data could, you know, help with along the way?
Yeah. Yes, definitely, it could help, because if we find a sector and within that sector, a specific job category that has a higher rate of infections, then, you know, say for instance, I mean, we know the healthcare workers, but then we think of like teachers probably. What can be done to prevent those teachers from, you know, getting further, more teachers becoming infected? So it allows us to have those targeted interventions within a particular job category in a particular industry, because, you know, job profiles differ vastly amongst the different industries.
Yeah. Well, now that it is a legal directive or requirement, what have the compliance levels been like so far, or is it still too soon to say?
It might be too soon. I mean, the directive came into effect in October. We still have a very low uptake. We only have about over 3,000 companies that have registered on the system and are actively submitting data to us. So there is, I think, thousands that are not registered as yet. And so what we hope with your show and with the adverts that we are putting out, that we will reach more businesses so that, you know, they can start complying with it, because there may be many that are not aware.
And
not, you know, just purposely not submitting. So,
all right,
we want to create that awareness.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.